Well, good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Skylar Sanford. I just had the pleasure, the privilege of going on a roughly 1 month long mission trip to Tijuana, Mexico, and I'll be sharing a little bit about that today. And you know, before I went on the trip, I asked God, I said, God, would you open my heart and would you just show me new things? Would you give me brand new experiences on this trip? And He did, from whether it be from homeless ministry, stuff that thankfully I've had a chance to do that in the past, but for the first time ever, and ever before, we had 100 homeless people that came to this ministry outreach, and we were able just to pray for them and to share with them just the love of Jesus Christ. For the first time ever, we had 100 people. That was amazing. From that to baptisms, we did baptisms at a women's drug rehab. It was the first time I'd ever been there before. And also, I had a chance to play worship. I led some worship at a youth group. But most importantly, one of the probably one of the coolest new things that I did was flying on this really cool bike thing at the beach. So I went on this for only $40. I got to take this really awesome once in a lifetime opportunity. You sit in there, and the pilot gets in, and you can't see it there, but it's got a motor, and they fly you around the beach. And anyways, that was really cool. But just a couple more. That wasn't the coolest thing that happened all trip, obviously, but I'll show you a few more pictures here. That's me up in the air. Some people waving at me there. That's me with my thumb up. Just, you know, life is good up in the air there. And that's just a little photo, if you can see from how high up we were. But anyways, I said, God, would you just give me new opportunities? And would you just open my eyes to things that are going on? And can I just serve you this month? And so that's what was going on. I had a chance to reconnect with people that I know. This picture, for those of you who went with us in March, this is Fernie. He's one of our translators. Got to reconnect with him, hang out with him, did a lot of work and ministry with him over this past month. And this here is Armando. Again, for those of you who've been there and who have went with us in March, another one of our translators. We love Armando. We love Fernie. They're just great men of God. Their hearts are on fire. They've been doing this stuff for a long time, translating. And they have very unique and special testimonies as well of their own. This next picture, this is Marcial, again, works at Puente, just like with Armando and Fernie. He does a lot of house build stuff that goes on. So it was great just to reconnect with these guys again and to do a lot of ministry as well. So for those of you who know, a big passion of mine is kids. I love kids ministry. I filled in interim here for a year this past year, and we got to do some work at some orphanages. For those of you, again, who went with us in March, this is Pastor Daniels. We recognize this place. We went there, and this was with one of the groups that was there. I had the privilege to reconnect with a group that went last year from the Cross Point Church in Modesto, California. I got to work with them last year. I was kind of in a leadership role this year. I was taking them to places, guiding them along, kind of being the representative for Puente de Amistad. If they ever had questions, they could come to me, and that was super awesome. And again, we went to Pastor Daniel's orphanage. That's what's going on in this photo. Did a lot of things there. As with this next picture is a really accurate representation of what one of the kids there thinks that I look like. And as you can see, they did a pretty good job. They were pretty close. So I love going there. I saw about four or five kids I'd seen in the past. There's kids that are in and out of there, but at this orphanage, it's a super awesome family-centered environment. And the pastor there, the guy who runs it, he just does a great job. He himself was also an orphan as a kid, and he was raised up in a way that really wasn't good. And so he really pours his heart and soul into making sure these kids have an opportunity just to be raised in the Word and raised the way that kids should be raised. So that was going on there. I had a chance to pray for the leaders there at Pastor Daniel's orphanage, and that was definitely one of my highlights on the trip. I got to do a lot of translation. So for those of you who don't know, about 2.5 years ago, I got on YouTube and I began learning Spanish, and I haven't stopped. Every day since, I do a little bit of something, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's talking to people. I have an app, I FaceTime people, I can text people. I do vocab and stuff. And so one of the big things for this trip that I was focusing on was doing translation for people. So in this photo right here, as you can see, the guy in the blue is praying for one of the ladies. This at the homeless outreach that we did, and I was translating his prayer from English into Spanish. And I did a little bit of that. I did a little bit of Spanish to English. all throughout the trip, and that was a blessing. God definitely has given me the ability to learn a lot in just over 2 years, and I give him the glory for that. I continue to work on that each day, and it's a blessing to be able to use the gift he's given me for his glory. So that was what's going on in this photo right here. We went to a ministry called Zone Red. This was another opportunity to feed the homeless. This place really isn't too far away from the place where we did the other homeless outreach. So we'd have a lot of people coming through twice. We'd see them in the morning at the canal, and then we'd see them again here. And it was good to see them again and minister to them. And what's really unique about Zone Red, and they were one of the places that I gave money to as part of some of my donations that I had, was the work that they're doing here in downtown Tijuana is really incredible. They are right in the heart of places where, the nightlife is really big, drugs are flowing through. They're right in the heart. They're right in the center of all this stuff that's going down. The building next door is a place where prostitutes live. And so they are right in the center. They are doing God's work in a place that doesn't have a lot of hope. I love this ministry. We got to go and minister to the homeless people there, as well as just the people that are in the downtown Tijuana area. And we served them meal. We served them a meal, and we had a little service, and that was super awesome. Did that with Crosspoint. Did that with Pastor Mike and Pam Lombard are down there as well. They're leading a group down there, and I got to reconnect with them, and you'll see some pictures of them in a little bit. This is just outside. I bet you we had they say anywhere from 100 to 200 people that come through these lines for the Zone Red. So we got to minister to a lot of people, and that was awesome. This next picture will lead me into a fun story. This is at the dump. For those of you who have gone with us in the past, we've been to the dump. The dump is a tough place to go. It's literally a landfill. It's where all your trash goes. It's what you think of when you think of the word dump. But the difference is there's people that live there. And a lot of these people, they're living there out of choice. It's not necessarily that they couldn't get out or they couldn't have a better life. But unfortunately, they're choosing to stay there. Why? It's a place where the police don't typically go to arrest people. They just kind of let them stay in a dump. It's a place where, you can, if you're addicted to drugs, if you're addicted to whatever, you can happily just stay there and do that. No one ever really tries to bring you out of it. And so it's a place of spiritual darkness. It's hard to go to the dump. But God loves the people that are there. And we went on this day, and we preached. We had a service. We passed out food and stuff, and that was really cool. This group, Crosspoint group, they had skits prepared. They had songs and everything. And then we prayed for people. And this is a place where I got to do more translation. Pretty much this group, I did more translation than I ever have in my entire life. When I prayed to God, God gave me new experiences and gave me opportunities to improve my Spanish. I don't think I knew what was coming for me, because this group, I kid you not, it's a youth group, 15, 16, sometimes 14-year-olds. A lot of times you wouldn't expect that age of students to be so outgoing, but when their leader said, hey, we're going to pray for people, I'm not kidding you, every single one of those kids left where they were and went and started praying for people. And so I was all over the place translating for people, and it was a great opportunity, super awesome learning experience, and God was definitely using me in that way. Now, I want to share a quick little story. For those of you who don't know, For the people who financially supported me on this trip, I wrote daily email updates, kind of like a little personal journal of mine, and I sent those out every day, kind of a summary of what was going on, what God was doing in my life. So I want to read for you just an excerpt of one of my journal entries that I wrote in regards to the dump. But I'll give you a little bit of pretext before I do that. We were ministering. We hadn't even been there 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, we see in the horizon 20 vehicles, big vehicles, military vehicles, driving down the hills, because you have to go up into this mountain to get there, coming right towards where we were at the dump. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a little different. This never happened before. I've been to the dump probably 5 times before on these ministry trips. Never had the military show up. And so we're just kind of standing around, we're doing our thing. We're getting ready to go out and invite people. And then they decided maybe we should just stay in. Maybe it'd be better if we just stayed in. So we invited some people, and then we started doing our service, and the military are just all over. They're just all over the place, and we noticed they're setting up a perimeter in the distance, which would make it difficult for us to even get out if we wanted to when the time came. And so we're doing our thing, and then we notice during the service, you know, there's military dudes walking around with their, you know, their big, you know, AR, whatever it is and stuff. And they came into the service, and they're just kind of looking at us while we're doing our service. Well, it turns out that there was some kind of a cartel member of some kind who they felt like was hiding out in the dump. And he was really, he was very wanted. He killed some people, and so they were looking for this guy. And literally, I mean, 20 plus vehicles. It was craziness. So the time came for us to leave. And now I'll go ahead and read to you this excerpt that I wrote. It says this: as we were leaving the dump earlier today, we had to cross through the security checkpoint that the military had set up. We approached slowly in our vehicle. We were motioned to stop as we arrived to the checkpoint. A caravan of military men walked our way, assault rifles strapped to their chest, and began speaking with Fernie, our translator, who was sitting in the passenger seat. Fernie explained who we were, why we were there, and the men then asked Fernie to step out of the vehicle. While they searched him, the men opened all of our doors, compartments, and glove box of the vehicle. After this, one of them motioned to the others that it was clear, and they let us through. The more I think about this story, the more I see God's hand in it. The story had a happy ending. We crossed the checkpoint with little to no problem. We were searched, but so was everybody else. And everyone, in the end, was fine. However, things didn't have to go that smooth, and I'm fully aware of that. I certainly do not take for granted the safety and protection that God granted us today at the dump. So I'll talk about more of this later. There's three things that I saw throughout this trip. The first one was God's provision. God provided for us in many different ways, and I have some cool stories in just a little bit that I'll tell about that. But the second one was God's protection. Third one was God's blessing. So God's protection, I definitely saw protection in this scenario. Because the reality of the situation is, you know, we are foreigners. We were foreigners in a third world country. The military, the police, the whoever, the authorities, they don't have to respect us for anything if they don't want to. We're not entitled to anything. We're not in America anymore. And so that situation, it could have been very different. I even went on to write, the military could have stopped us and said, you're not going through until we find this guy. And maybe they couldn't have, they might not have found him for hours, even a day, who knows. And so God blessed us with the ability to pass through. He protected us. He kept us safe. The military could have said, hey, you guys are good, but you three are going to stay back with us. And that would have been a nightmare, obviously. So God protected us and kept us safe. And that was just one area where I saw God's protection with me on this trip. This right here, this is a picture of the Cross Point group, the group I told you about from Modesto, California. I spent a lot of time with them. I was kind of in charge of them, so that was a lot of fun to reconnect with them. You can see me up there in the corner of that picture. If you notice, I probably look pretty happy. I'm smiling pretty big, right? I just eaten the greatest taco of my life at this place. But the next morning, I wasn't smiling so big because I woke up with food poisoning. So that was not as great. And I'll crack a little joke here. I had prayer partners, right? I had prayer partners. I had assigned, I think, like 24 people a day, and your job was to pray for me that day. And the day I got food poisoning was Dennis Lee's job, so I have no idea what happened. I don't know if he forgot or what happened there, but you know what? I will give him some credit. The whole process only lasted like 30 minutes, and then from that point on, I was on the way up. So I give you credit, Dennis. Thank you for praying for me that day. That was good. What I do remember, though, from that day is I woke up that morning, and things were going on, obviously, you know, and I had to head straight for the bathroom, and that's all I'll talk about there. But what I noticed was it was a really bad 30 minutes, but maybe this was God working on me. I'll just tell you this right now. I'm the kind of person who, if I'm going through something or, whatever it is, especially if I'm sick, I don't tell anybody. I keep it to myself. My mom knows this. She's always getting on me about it. I need to get better about it. But I don't know what it is, but I don't want to bother people or what it is. But what I noticed was I wasn't telling anybody about it, and it was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, I picked up my phone. I sent a message to our people in the group chat. We have a volunteer group chat. Travis and Heather Hunsaker, the missionaries of Puente, they're in this group chat. Some of the people are in this group chat. And I sent the text. I said, hey, guys, I don't know what's going on. I'm really sick. And I just need some time to rest. Is there any medicine, anything you guys can give me? I just need some help. And that was very uncomfortable for me. But I was also feeling like I was about to die. So I was like, I need to do something. Like, if this is what it takes, I need to do something right now. And I kid you not, I sent the text. And I kid you not, from the moment I pressed send, everything started to get better. So I feel like that may have been God, maybe just pushing me, working through me, teaching me, hey, it's okay, number one, to ask for help, but number two, to allow people to support you and to not have to do it on your own. And so from that moment on, everything got better. So I suppose I'll give the credit to God for in that moment to bringing me out, but also to Dennis. Maybe he prayed really hard when I pressed that send button and everything got better for me. So who knows, but I give God the glory for that. So this is a picture. We're in the park. This day with Crosspoint was the last day, and it was very unexpected. We weren't expecting really to do any park ministry with these guys because they were done. We went to the beach. When you go to the beach, the rest is history. You just chill and you relax at the beach. Well, some of their students felt like they were supposed to do some more ministry. So literally, we changed all our plans. We left the beach early, and we went to this park. And this wasn't even the first place we went. The first place we went wasn't going to work, so here we ended up here. We ended up, we did over an hour of ministry at this place, and it was just totally unexpected. People were raising their hand. People were accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. I mean, it was just super cool. We prayed for people. I did more translation. And I really think that just proves, if anyone doesn't already believe, but, you know, God works in unexpected ways sometimes. And even when we're not anticipating or we don't really know what's coming forward, he's always walking in front of us. And he's guiding our steps. He's taking us to where we need to be. We need to be in this place. And only a couple students are the reason that we were here. They just said, hey, we feel like we're supposed to do, there was the everything skit. It was a skit that they did. We feel like we're supposed to do the everything skit somewhere. And so we said, okay, well, let's see what we can do. And we ended up here. And we had three people raise their hand to accept salvation. We prayed for people who were going through stuff. And it was just a really, really neat, special opportunity. So another thing that I did is I got to sing. Like I said, that picture back there, this is the picture also from a youth event. I got to lead some worship, and I have a story that I'll read a little bit about here as well. I'll read you another article from my journal, but some pretext here. So first off, the girl I'm singing with, her name is Joyce Godinez. She's from Sunshine Open Bible. She was with the the group from SGL, so the School of Global Leadership. That was the group that Mike and Pam were a part of, that they lead. And so I got to do a little bit of work with them as well, it kind of before and after the Crosspoint team. And so I'm singing with her. Maybe you can't tell, maybe you can, but she's Mexican, speaks Spanish. And so I got to it was kind of fun to kind of hang out with her, and we could, you know, do some Spanish together. She was not necessarily, she was raised here, so she spoke a lot of English, but her mom would speak to her in Spanish, right? So her Spanish isn't necessarily 100% fluent, and so we would have some times where she'd be translating, and I'd actually be able to, you know, sit on the sidelines and kind of help her out every now and then. And then there'd be times where I would be translating, and the majority of the time she would be on the sidelines helping me out. So that was pretty good, and that was awesome, and I enjoyed to work with her in that way. And in this situation right here, in this picture, I'll read it to you, but we were leading some worship at this youth event. This was probably day four, maybe day five. It wasn't very far in, but let me just read to you real quick what I wrote about this. It says this: in the world of missions, you have to be ready for anything. This event that we attended today, this youth event, was no different. Randomly, during the service, the pastor came over to me and asked if I would play a song on the guitar. I wasn't expecting this. She just came over to me and she asked, hey, would you mind doing this? And it was all in Spanish, and so I was hoping that I understood correctly, and I felt like I did. And I said this. I said, of course I said yes. And 4 minutes later, I was up there singing and playing the guitar with one of the students from SGL that I roped into doing it with me. With this being my 9th missions trip in total, I've become quite accustomed to preparing for anything. This process of preparation for me includes always making sure that I have anything/everything that I might possibly need with me for that day, whether that's, you know, having, you know, the Bible with you, the sermon with you, whether, you know, you have your music book and your guitar. You might not even need that stuff. You might be going to the fruit market, but you bring that stuff with you because you have no idea if the pastor is going to look at you and say, hey, would you mind going and preaching the sermon at the fruit market or something crazy like that? So anyways, I continued by saying this. regardless of whether those things may have seemed necessary or not. However, this level of preparation is meaningless if I'm unwilling to respond when called upon. When the pastor called on me to play a song, I could have easily made up an excuse for being unable to do it, but it's not about me. It's about accomplishing what God has put me in that situation to do. God calls upon us all throughout our lives, not just when we're on a missions trip. I believe that our biggest testimonies or miraculous events will be created slash seen when we respond when we are called upon. And so this was a unique opportunity for me to say, yeah, sure, I'll go, I'll do this. But like I said, I didn't have to do that. I could have said, oh no, you know, I don't have my guitar, which actually, that's not even my guitar. She just said, oh, just use that one. And I hadn't even talked about not having a guitar. So she provided the stuff that we needed. God provided me with that chance to do that. And I said, yes. Because like I said, all that stuff is meaningless. I could be the greatest missionary in the world. I could have all these talents and all this stuff. And it's all meaningless if I'm unwilling to say yes to what God has for my life and what he has planned and what he wants me to do. This next picture here, this is actually back at Pastor Daniel's, but this time Cross Point is gone. They went back to Modesto, California. Now we're with SGL. Did a lot of traveling with them. Probably did 10 to 11 days of ministry with them. So I got to do more children's ministry. But this time I'm up there and we're doing like a dance with like actions and stuff, you know, and kids. We do that stuff here too. That's a lot of fun. We love that stuff. We did this picture that's going on right here. I was doing actually some translation for Pastor Mike, one of my first opportunities to translate a kid's sermon, you could say. And it went really good. I had Joyce right there if I needed her, but we kind of tag-teamed throughout the day. That was a lot of fun. And so that was David and Goliath that he was doing, and we're explaining the story. And then we had a chance to pray with the kids. That was awesome. I, for one of the first times ever, I did like a full prayer completely in Spanish with kids. And, you know, with kids, it's a little different. You know, you're kind of praying, you know, God, you know, protect them, be with them, you know, let them know that you love them. And so, that, you know, it's a little bit easier. But the first time ever that I got to do that, so that was another unique experience. It's the kind of stuff that I asked God for when I started. We did some coloring pages with some kids. This is another feeding kitchen. Her name is Candelaria. We have a good, Puente has a great relationship with her and the work she does. She's a feeding kitchen that ministers to 25 to 50 kids. I mean, there can be lots of kids there as well. So we're doing a little Bible lesson with them there. And then we had a piñata. Mexicans love their piñatas. So we had a piñata and passed out candy. And as soon as that thing breaks, there's two jobs. The first job is reach in there and grab the stick that the kid has, because they'll literally just, I mean, they'll hold the stick and they'll be grabbing their candy and they'll be like fighting people off with their stick. So the first thing is always grab the stick. That's the number one thing that you do, is you grab the stick. And number two thing is you try to kind of grab the piñata prior to it just exploding everywhere, because then all the candy just falls down in one place and then it's the dog pile. So as you can see, we got to it first. And we were kind of holding it like this, and that's Pastor Mike Lombard. He's throwing candy over his shoulder, and I'm throwing candy this way, and then there's some kid with his little thing trying to get us to put his candy in his basket. So that was, which was the leg of the piñata, so very resourceful. So that was good. That was really awesome, another fun experience. This is the men's rehab. I'll talk about the men's rehab a little bit more. The men's rehab that we went to was probably the highlight of my trip. After the whole plane thing, of course, that was pretty awesome. But from a ministry standpoint, this was the number one, I think, for me. Why? Well, I was asked to do quite a bit, and we did quite a bit. As you can see in this photo, I'm singing with Joyce again. We did five songs, all in Spanish. And I have a binder a while ago that I built that has Spanish songs, worship songs, and so I take that binder with me everywhere. That's another thing that I always carry with me, because you never know. And this one right here, I was, last year when I was in Mexico, I wrote a Spanish sermon. So a sermon that is completely in Spanish. And so I was preaching that to these men, and Joyce was actually translating in English. So that was kind of fun. She got to go the other way for once. And that was a super awesome, fun thing I got to do. And then this, one of the highlights of my trip, I translated part of this sermon for Pastor Mike, as well as a prayer time. And I'd never done anything like this before. This was different than the kids' sermon. You know, that was a Bible story that I knew. He was just up there just saying things, and I just had to translate. I didn't know where he was going, right? And so I'd never done that before in my life. And another opportunity where I got to do something for the first time ever. God was with me. Again, I had Joyce in the front row. If I needed her, I called on her probably three times, but God was giving me the words that I needed. There were some things I didn't even really think I knew how to say, but he would say them, and I would just get it out there, and thankfully it made sense, we hope. So that was super awesome. This is a picture of me praying for a guy. We had to pray for a lot of people at the men's rehab. And you know, something that was, this picture is special to me for a couple reasons. One is, you know, Pastor Mike Lombard, again, he and his wife Pam are missionaries in Trinidad and Tobago. Pastor Mike was here, and he was leading this group. And something he said to me, and he said to all of us really, was not to be afraid of praying for people in general, but also in English. Because, you know, we're here in Spanish, and not that many people speak English. And so we had some people in the group that were just thinking to themselves, oh, you know, I can't speak Spanish, I can't pray in Spanish, therefore maybe I'll just stand on the sideline and just let somebody else do it. And Pastor Mike really, really preached against that. Yeah, he said something to me, and it sticks with me even to this day. He said, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak through us even when we're not speaking Spanish, right? The Holy Spirit, it's not that they need to hear and understand our words. They need to hear what the Holy Spirit and understand what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. So you just pray for them in English, whatever God's putting on your heart, and you let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. And for me, I have learned to pray for people in Spanish somewhat, but I'll say this, it's a lot different than when you're translating. I think it's a lot easier to translate prayers for people because I don't have to think of the words. I just hear what I just say what I hear. When you are praying for somebody, you have to know what you want to say, and then you have to translate it and say it in the language, in Spanish in this case. And so even when it would come to praying for people in Spanish, I would get a little nervous about that, because the words don't come to me as fast as they do in English. And so when Pastor Mike said what he said, it really spoke to me, and this was the first place where I put that into practice. I would pray for people in Spanish and in English. I do some parts in Spanish, and I do some parts in English. And I'd even say to people in Spanish before I started, hey, is it okay if I say some English in this prayer too? And they would just say, of course, of course. And so I allowed God, really, you know, for the first time ever, to kind of overtake that fear I have, and to just do it. And he did. And I know the Holy Spirit was moving in that place. We prayed for a lot of people that day. There was probably 40 plus people that came to this men's drug rehab just to hear God's word and stuff. And so that was a really special moment for me, just getting to let God kind of take over a part of me and just do what I felt like he was calling me to do. So we went to another church. This where this photo is. This is the pastor and his son in the back, daughter in the front, husband, wife, pastor. And we went to this church, and I got connected with this church because of the brother who I met at the very first place where we were singing. I had a guitar, and we were doing the thing for the youth group. And we just got connected, and he spoke a little bit of English, but not a ton. And so we kind of got talking about and stuff. He invited me to the church. I told Pastor Mike, I said, hey, if I don't know if it's possible or not, but if we can work it in, you know, this family would love us to come. So we went, and I got to translate for the children's service again, all the way through. From saying hello, this is who we are, introductions, all the way through a little time of worship, through a time of the sermon, and through a time of games. It was all Spanish, and I was the only one that was there that spoke Spanish, because Joyce was translating for Pastor Mike, and he was doing the sermon. So it was the me show, and I was doing my best. And I know that God was with me and gave me what I needed. He provided for me, he protected me, he gave me the blessings that I needed to be able to do that. And so that was backstory for that church. This is Zone Red, and for those of you who followed along in my email updates, you'll see there. I'm on the end, and then there's a lady in the white and a lady in the black. And the lady in the black, her name is Daniela, and she is the one who I spoke about in my emails. She was in charge of that. She's not really the boss, but she's the one who oversees all the food that goes out and all the meals, and she answers all the questions for the people. And And her heart really just touched me. I mean, this is somebody who lives in Tijuana, doesn't have all that much, has enough to get by, and she's happy with what she has. But she is literally spending, you know, I think it's 3 to 4 days a week at Zone Red, giving everything she has, her time. Doesn't really make a whole lot doing this stuff, but she just loves people, and she loves what God is doing. And seeing her come and do this stuff on such a regular basis really touched me. I know that, you know, I do missions work, and people will say the same thing. Oh, it just touches my heart that you come and you do this. But something I wrote about in my journal, the big difference is I get to come home, right? I know that I'm doing this for a month. I'm doing this for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. And then I'm coming home after that. And things that are home are always, you know, it's always better than wherever I came from. I come from places of poverty, of places of spiritual darkness. It's always better here. Well, for Daniela, she's doing all this. She's doing all the stuff I'm doing, maybe more. And that's life for her. She's staying there. And so I thought that was really, really special. It shows her heart. It shows who she is as a person. It makes me love the ministry even more because I can tell. I've seen firsthand it's being guided. It's being run properly. And it's guided by someone who loves what they're doing, has a passion for the people, and a passion for people coming to know Jesus. So that was Zone Red. I just really loved that place, that ministry. That was super awesome. And these last couple pictures here that I have are the Alamar, for those who know this marsh. We went to the Alamar. It's a shanty town, really, that when we went there, they had a big fire that went through, and it burned like 8 to 10 houses. And when I say houses, I'm talking about these houses, quote-unquote, being built out of whatever people can find. They got, you know, plywood, they got cardboard, they got, you know, random bits of metal wire that they can find, and they build these houses out of whatever they can get, tarps, and all that kind of stuff. And so we're walking down the street. We had a little church service. We invited people to a church that is right there. It's a nice, real nice building right there in the middle of it. They have church services there multiple times a week. We invited, I think we had like 65, 70 kids that showed up, and they were only expecting like 25. So God blessed us there. We had a lot of kids to minister to. They passed out clothes, had another pinata. That's what's going on here. This is just a picture of the Alamar. And so, yeah, and so that was going on. And, you know, God, like, as I told you guys at the beginning, God really, really blessed me / I don't know, you could say kind of showed up for me in three different ways. And the first one was provision. And so I'll read this verse to you. This says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And that is Philippians 4:19. So that verse, when I think about that verse, I see God's provision. God provided for me, again, in ways, so many different ways. I talked a little bit about my thing. So there's this car part that we were looking for. We needed, the air conditioning wasn't working in this van, and the group hadn't quite showed up yet. And so Pastor Mike and I were driving all over Tijuana looking for this car part, because you go to the mechanic, the way it works in most foreign countries, you go to a mechanic, and if you were here in the States, they'd just say, oh yeah, you know, you need this part, and we have it in back. We'll just get it for you. Well, in Tijuana and most foreign countries, it doesn't work that way. If you need a part for this circumstance, it was for the air conditioning unit, you have to leave there and go drive all over Tijuana and find some place that happens to have this part. And usually you can't find it new. You have to find it used, which means you're going to junkyards. And the word for junkyard that they use is yonke. And so we went to 15 different yonkes looking for these parts, right? Well, we ended up finding a part, and it ended up being like way cheaper than we could have ever needed. And so, you know, God works in pretty crazy ways. He provides for us when we need it. Another one was we were looking for food. You know, we were at the market buying fruits and stuff for the homeless, fruit and bread and all that. And there's this guy who we're just standing around, and I'm just kind of, you know, doing my job, kind of keeping an eye on the group, making sure, you know, no one's sneaking up on us or whatever. And there's this guy who comes over, and he starts talking to me, and he wants, and he's, you know, a Mexican, one of the vendors, and he just wants to give me these bananas. And he's like, hey, in Spanish, will you take these bananas? And I'm thinking to myself, like, we want you to have these bananas. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I'm looking at this box of bananas. There's like 100 bananas here. And they look really nice. They look like, you know, they're nice and ripe and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? Like, why are you giving me these bananas? Well, then he starts speaking to me in English. And his English was decently good. And it turns out that I had met him last year at the market. He's a vendor who sells bananas. And I had spoken to him for a little while he was still working on his English. And I was kind of throwing some Spanish in there, and so it was kind of fun. Well, I had completely forgotten about this guy. I didn't even know who he was. And anyways, he knew who I was, and he really remembered me, and I was really special to him. So maybe I should have remembered him. I don't know. But anyways, he said to me, you know, I remember you from last year, and I know you're with a church group, and I just want to bless the church group, and so I want you to take these bananas. And so we took these bananas, and there was, like 100 of them, and we used them for the homeless. We gave them out. I think we even gave some out to the children's orphanages. And so God just provides in crazy ways that you don't even think about. And I just think that's really special. Another way that he was working in my life through this trip was protection, as I shared with you. You can read this verse to yourself. But as I shared with you, we were at the dump. We were at the dump. And that could have been so bad with the military coming in like that. They could have, you know, kept us there. We wouldn't be able to do anything about it. But God said no, and he got us through the security checkpoint. Everything was all right. Another way, my dad shared about this a little bit. I'll go more in depth. I drove roughly 4,000 miles round trip from getting down there, driving in Tijuana, which the roads in Tijuana are crazy. You're bumpy and everything and up and down and potholes and you don't know what's going to happen. And then I drove all the way back. That was roughly 4,000 miles in total. And I didn't have one bad car thing that happened to me the whole trip, except for when I pulled in somewhere in the last mile, because I've stopped to get some gas, and then I drove 1 mile from the gas station to my house. And when I got back home, I realized that, one of the back tire had a hole in it. And, you know, it was making that noise, leaking out air. And I drove 4,000 miles. I didn't have one bad thing happen to me until the last half mile or something like that. So that's God's protection. And that's the importance of having prayer partners, people that are praying for you, people that are remembering you each and every day, so that you can just be protected and have that protection that God has for us, that he provides for us. And this last one, and you can read it to yourself again, but this is just God's blessing. God blessed me in so many ways. He blessed our groups in so many ways through provision and through protection, and even just through the opportunity to do what I did, to have those first new experiences from Spanish translation, praying for people, playing live music, youth groups, and that kind of stuff in different culture, which kind of a fun story there. We played, like I said, that day that pastor just came up to me and said, hey, would you mind just going up there and playing? Anyways, we were rocking out up there, having a good old time. One of the people just, you know, randomly just went up there, started playing the drums with us, and all of a sudden, you know, so now we have a whole band. And then the kids ended up cheering for an encore. So we played an encore for them and everything. And anyways, God was blessing me all throughout this trip. And I thought that was something that I really noticed. And it just really brings me back to just the importance of missions, the importance of doing what God calls us to do, making sure that you're staying in the pathway that he has for you. And yeah, sometimes we make mistakes. We veer off, we go down paths that we shouldn't, but God has this love for us and this forgiveness for us that he will accept us, he'll bring us back, and he'll guide us back down that path again. And we preach that message many times in Mexico. But also, this next verse I'll put up, this is the big one. This is the one that we always hear when we think about missions. Matthew 28, right? And if you want to read it to yourself, you can. But, therefore go into all the world, make disciples, you know. And God is just calling us, and he wants us to do this stuff, and he wants us to missions are important, but also I think it's important to understand that sometimes your biggest mission field might be exactly where you are right now. And a lot of people, they hear this verse, and I know me, I use it as kind of a promotion, you know, hey, God's telling us to go, so do missions. Missions is great. I have a big heart for missions. But what I also think is that God will use you exactly where you are right now as well. He'll use you in your workplace. He'll use you in your school. He'll use you wherever you're at. God uses us for his glory when we allow him to, but we have to allow him to. We have to, as I say it, take steps of faith. I had a lot of success this last month in Tijuana. And yes, it was God and it was prayers. But the biggest thing really is it was me saying, yes, God, I will take this step of faith. I will. Because I could stand there all day. I could say no. Say, God, I'm not going to do this. This is scary. It's uncomfortable. I want nothing to do with this. But I'm not going to be able to see God's miracles happen. I'm not going to be able to see God's hand on situations if I'm just standing there, just scared, and God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. We got to take steps of faith wherever we're at, whether it's on the missions field, whether it's at home, whether you're at work, whether you're at school. Doesn't matter where you are. We got to take steps of faith. Allow God to work through us. Allow Him to minister through us. You have no idea the impact you can have on someone's life. Just like I saw with the guy at the market. I didn't even remember that guy, but he knew me, what I looked like. I didn't mention this part. He knew my name. He said, Skyler, that's your name. And there's no way he could have known that outside of when I told him last year. And so that was really special. That was really powerful. You have no idea the impact you can have on someone's life. And so just showing them Jesus, being Jesus to them, it's huge. It's huge. And it comes through taking steps of faith. It comes through sometimes not being silent when there's a conversation that's going on in a break room or wherever it might be. Sometimes it comes through the Holy Spirit kind of prompts you to maybe say something or to pray for somebody. And it can be uncomfortable to do those things. But God wants us to listen to Him, take those steps, and really He will guide us and He will be with us. He will protect us everywhere we go. He'll provide for us, like I just said. Provision, protection, and blessing, the three things I really saw God doing in my life. And so this is my focus wrap-up point here. You guys might have to skip to it because it's not coming up. But there it is. Wherever you're at, take steps of faith and let God guide you down His perfect path. He has a perfect path for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know, that he has planned for us. His plans for us are good. That He wants to love and protect us. And so I just really, as I prepare here to wrap up and to pray for us, I just want to say, you know, the Great Commission, as we just talked about, is for all people. And it might not be for you. Maybe it's not in a different country. Maybe it's where you're at. But what I would say is that even if it's not, there's so many things you can do to support, to come alongside, pray for people who do that kind of work. Those of you who did financially give towards me and allow me to be able to do this trip, I'm so grateful to you for doing that. You allowed me to continue doing my passion, what I love doing, and we partnered in that. And although you weren't physically with me in Mexico, you were with me in Mexico because it was a partnership, and you allowed me to get there. A lot of you were praying for me. You were with me spiritually. You were praying for me. And that's all part of the Great Commission. It's all part of Matthew 28. And you know, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, what you know, what work environment you're in, none of that matters. What matters is that you're taking steps of faith wherever you're at. You can even flip it around. Take steps of faith wherever you're at, and let God guide you down His perfect path. So I want to pray together this morning, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, just the work that I know you did through me in Tijuana, Mexico, God, but really it was more than that. I just thank you for just the lessons that can be learned, the people who followed me, who supported me, God. I was not doing this alone. Not only did I have you with me, Lord, I had my prayer partners. I had my people who were remembering me in prayer and who even gave towards me financially, Lord. I just thank you for just a community of believers, people that support and just were with me on this trip. I thank you, Lord, for the seeds that were planted on this trip, Lord, the people that we prayed for, the people that we ministered to. I ask you to bless them, to continue to speak to them, God. For those who gave their life to you, would you just work and just provide for them and just continue to love them, God? We just thank you this morning for everything that you're doing. I ask that this lesson, God, this teaching of just taking steps of faith, would it sink in this morning? Would people just continue to do that, or even begin to do that, Lord? May today be a turning point for some people who have been nervous, who have been a little bit worried or concerned, Lord, of what that looks like. Would you just bless them and just comfort them, give them strength, Lord? I just thank you again for this opportunity to go on this trip to share. I ask you to just bless each and every one of us, that we would just go in peace, Lord, and you would just continue strengthening us and be with us. So I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen. Amen. Thank you, church, so much for being here this morning. Thank you. The last time I did this, it was 2019, I shared about Trinidad, and I think I spoke 55 minutes, so I was only 40 this time. So amen. Thank you guys for being here. You're all dismissed, and we'll hope to see you next week.